Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hultgren, along with Ken Evans, Friday afternoon, covering everything in the world of mixed martial arts. And we've got a fight night coming up on Sunday. We, of course, will
fight night's what we're going to talk about.
Yeah, no, we're not going to talk about that. But we've got plenty of stuff to talk about.
Oh wait, he wants a title shot. I found my notes. Andre Arlovsky wants a title shot.
Yes. We also
Alistair. Who wants a title shot?
It's Alistair. Okay.
Should they get a title shot?
I don't know. We'll talk about that in minutes.
We'll
talk about that when we break it down.
Keep it right here after the break.
After the break. We'll come back. We don't do breaks here, but that's okay.
That reminds me. We need sponsors. So yeah, if you're a
so
sponsor.
So we can do break. We want to do breaks.
We want to do a break, but we don't have sponsors. And we're at the point where monetizing is really an issue.
Yes.
So please, if you work for, Mountain Dew.
Oh, I would love
give
that.
Give us a call.
That would be terrific.
Give us a call, Mountain Dew.
Call us.
We know you're out there.
We do. Okay, and we'll also talk.
We'll post Eric's cell phone on the Facebook page.
We will do that.
For everybody who needs
it. All the sponsors call me and the fans who want to yell at me about the stuff we post on the Facebook page. We will talk about Paige VanZant's run in with the apparently insane Ronda Rousey.
Like we didn't know she was insane.
We will talk about, we'll talk about probably right now Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor.
Oh, yeah, that is just actually breaking as of the show taping. Which is very interesting because it kind of goes to some of the comments that their coaches, Connor's coaches, have been making. And a lot of people are kind of trying to see if they're putting two and two together and getting four here. We've heard some comments that Conor McGregor's coaches have said there's an announcement coming soon about his return. And if you've been following things since we last met here on the show, actually, because we did an early show last week, the whole UFC 200 announcement with Daniel Cormier and Jon Jones was made. So we know the main event there. Dana White said, hey, no, this isn't true. I know we found that late in the show when we posted last week.
Yes.
Conor's not going to be on our card. So there's been a lot of moving parts here. Conor McGregor's kind of been picking and poking and saying things here and there. And as of this morning, the UK Sun, which is a tabloid in the UK, but that's a little different than here. Like, there's no babies with bat heads or anything in, like, their tabloids.
No.
Those are, like, our tabloids. So the tabloids there, they do tend to break a bit of news, but the UK Sun in the UK is reporting that Conor McGregor is set to announce soon a boxing match against Floyd Money Mayweather.
And this is backed up by 2 hours ago, Conor McGregor's coach, Coach Kavanaugh, John Kavanaugh, tweeting out on his official account, really fine Mayweather we're having here, and Mayweather is one word.
It's really fine Mayweather.
So, I don't
know. Where do we literally start with this?
I don't know, because, of course...
Okay, let's start with the actual feasibility of this. And to just clarify for a lot of people, and this was myself, I just figured it out this morning. I was checking some things. When the UFC enters into a contract with a fighter...
You did homework?
Yeah.
I love that.
It was at the bar, though.
Awesome.
So I'm at the bar. I'll do some homework.
All right.
It's 11 in the morning. Let's make it worthwhile. So I'm doing the homework at the bar, and I kind of look some things up. And when the UFC essentially enters a contract, and I knew most of this, but I just want to verify it, they enter a combat sports contract. They don't enter an MMA contract, essentially.
Right.
And a lot of times when those UFC guys, you see them on Metamorphosis and things like that, that's with the UFC's permission. They'll let them do those type of things. They are not going to let Conor McGregor, would be my guess, go and box Floyd Money Mayweather in a straight boxing match. That doesn't seem like anything that would happen on this planet unless Mayweather Promotions is kicking something back to UFC. I'm not saying that's not going to happen, but that doesn't seem very likely in this instance, because you would have to look at the future marketability of Floyd Money Mayweather, or more specifically Conor McGregor, after he would get his ass whipped by Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match. I'm sorry. As much as I would love to see a fight and just... Conor McGregor go in there and just show, quote unquote, what MMA can do, he's not going to win in a fight against Floyd Money Mayweather if that is a boxing match. MMA, sure, I'll give it to him all day. But it's interesting to see They're also saying he'd have to lose about 25 pounds. I'm not sure where they're going
from. Who would have to lose 25 pounds?
Conor McGregor. I don't think that means from his weight class championship.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I think that might be wherever he's walking around right now. I forget where. Floyd was in the 150s, I think, his last fight, right?
48, I want to say. I don't have it in front of me.
That's
but,
about right if Conor's walking around at 170, 175. So that doesn't sound too strange.
So here's another interesting thing.
Will the UFC let him do it? What do you think?
Well,
believe?
So, okay, I'm with you. I don't know what this posturing is.
It would be in Vegas. So it's not like they'd be fighting in another country or finding some type of casino where they could kind of get around these contracts and do these weird things. I mean, Floyd Mayweather fights in Vegas. That's his deal. And the split here would be 100-something million for Floyd and 7 million for Conor McGregor.
Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So here's another, and this doesn't necessarily feed into this, although it feeds into the mythology. There have been some reports floating around in the last 10 days because people have been starting to do some digging. And one of the things with the UFC not being a publicly traded company per se is that you don't necessarily get a lot of the forthright information specific to like pay-per-views. So
for pay-per-views, bonuses, points, all those things.
So for a long time, we've been told this mythology that UFC 100 was the biggest pay-per-view in UFC history.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some people doing some great research out there in the world who have discovered that there might be a bit of an overstatement as to how well that pay-per-view actually did. So instead of the 1.5 or 1.6 that you have heard for the last 100 pay-per-views since UFC 100, it is likely more around the range of 1.2, 1.3. And why am I telling you this? Well, that means that Conor McGregor and Nate Diaz is the biggest pay-per-view in UFC history. So that would lead into how a discussion like this might actually happen. I do not know why one such as Conor McGregor would enter into a monetary contract that looks so ridiculous when you are going to lose said fight, and you're going to lose said fight for $7 million.
That's some of the reported numbers, and Conor McGregor had talked about giving Floyd a favorable 80-20 split towards Conor because his last fight flopped revenue-wise. And I don't even remember who he fought the last fight.
Mayweather?
Yeah.
I don't have any idea.
That was his 49th win, obviously. So there's a lot of bluster here in this report from the UK Sun, where apparently Floyd was incensed when Conor McGregor decided to call him out and wants to get back into the ring, and he wants to do this fight. I don't see the UFC allowing it to happen. That just doesn't seem to be something they would do.
I don't see that happening.
I mean, the one thing that I will say as we move along here, there's a lot of people talking about the potential here.
It was Birdo. That's who he fought last time.
It was, okay. There's a potential here, and I don't think it's a lot of hyperbole for what some are saying could be the billion-dollar fight. Is it going to make that much? No, probably not. Could it come over $500 million if these two got in the ring against each other? I think we'd come close. I'm not trying to say that they're going to split that amount of money, but Floyd makes a dime on every dollar in that arena. So, I mean, if there's that much money talking, you would have to think even the UFC, who run more successful pay-per-views every year than any other company in the world, you would have to think if that kind of money was sitting there, and we're looking at a $500 million, you know, gate and pay-per-view and all of the ancillary revenue sources, could they scoff at that kind of money if they wanted to buy essentially a fight on the contract that the UFC has with Conor McGregor if Mayweather Promotions were to offer big, big money like that? Because how many events does it take the UFC to make $100 million? It takes quite a few.
It probably does. Now, here's the other interesting thing is, so this weekend you obviously have Canelo and Khan. So, I mean, is this Floyd stirring the pot and trying to take eyeballs away from that? And
I don't think he did. Isn't Mayweather Promotions running this?
I don't know, but why would you? I mean, why on the Friday before this fight that most people don't really care about? I mean, I don't really care about it, and I think most people think that Canelo's going to knock Khan silly.
I think it's a cool fight because, I mean, I think it isn't this one on Fox? It's one of the broadcast fights, and it's going to be one of the bigger ones we've seen in a while. So that's kind of cool. Oh, it's Golden Boy. It is not Mayweather Promotions.
So, I mean, is that what this is?
And he's co-promoted with Golden Boy, but that doesn't necessarily mean he likes Golden Boy. And we know that. We've been in those arenas on occasion.
Yes, we have.
And we're not sure exactly how that all... But again, it's interesting. Let's use that as a bit of an example. There's been some friction with Golden Boy and Mayweather Promotions, but what happens at the end of the day when they really want to get a fight done?
They make money together.
They make money together. So for all of the contract talk that we bring up and for all of the MMA contracts versus fighting sports contracts and all of that type of talk, money's going to walk at the end of the day here. And that's what's going to make everybody decide whether or not they want to agree on this.
Okay, but let's... So
how much money, I guess you have to say, how much money would it take for the UFC to let Conor McGregor go out there and get his ass whipped? Because that's what's
going
to happen.
And I don't know, because they walked away from a rumored $40 to $50 million from UFC 200 by not letting him on the card.
Right, but I get, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later.
Oh, no, we're talking about it now.
No. I mean, I get that there's some people saying, oh, look at all the money. Look, we have Jones, we have Cormier. We have DC and Jones. I'm sorry. They're not taking that big of a hit. Are they taking a hit? Maybe. I still can't be 100% sure they're taking a hit by not having Conor on that card when they replaced it with what is the biggest matchup in UFC right now. I would argue that matchup with DC and John Jones is bigger than any Conor fight you could book right now. Will Conor make more money by himself? Yes. He will make probably near the money that both of those guys will. Maybe even a little more. But for them to say they're taking that much of a hit, or for people to say the UFC is taking that much of a hit when they plugged in the biggest main event they have, I don't buy it at this point.
Even though the math will show you that it's taken Jones 8 pay-per-views to equal what Conor does in 3, right?
Yes, I understand what that means. But I also say, hey, this is a championship fight on a card with another championship fight and another championship fight, and it's got 200 going for it.
Well, and I think the thing that a lot of people are not talking about is that this is the only rematch John Jones has ever done.
Well, the other thing, too, that people aren't talking about is whenever Conor comes back, he's going to get the eyeballs there. That just because they gave it up, quote-unquote, this money on this pay-per-view doesn't mean they gave up the money. And you really have to look at it. Where does Conor draw the most eyeballs? Does he draw the most eyeballs to 200, or does he draw the most eyeballs to a random UFC 203 that we haven't booked yet? He's going to draw more eyeballs to UFC 203, 204, 205. And that's the truth. That money's not gone just because he's not on this card. And I have been an advocate. Make the fight when you can make the fight. But, you know, we talked about it a lot, and I haven't really changed my mind. I think the UFC could have given him some breaks here, but the fact that they didn't and they plugged DC and Jones in is very telling. It's also very telling when they go to that first presser where they announce them and DC says, well, yeah, my kid had a recital today, but I'm here. I'm sitting at this table right now.
Yeah, but I would argue with you, and I want to say we did last week a little bit. I would argue that calling somebody on a Monday and telling them to cancel all their plans for Tuesday does not fall within the realm of reasonable promotion.
And I guess you would have to decide where that... I said the same thing, but I don't have any real blame at UFC's feet with the way they've actually handled it.
I'm not blaming anybody, but I'm saying...
I told you last week, hey, this is the fight. We want to see the fight. Let him skip this thing. And then I kind of saw how things shook out that week. And, you know, I hedged some of my opinions at that point. Like, okay, I see what they're doing here. They wanted everybody here for this event. They wanted to do this presser. This presser's far enough out. I mean, that was a key, too, is one of the questions that we had answered is, hey, this is why they do these things so far out. They do them so that guys can have full camps. And I get it that Conor wanted more camp. He just got his ass whipped for the first time in his career. He wanted more camp. But, I mean, how do you tell him that he can't be there and then DC is sitting there missing his kid's recital on a fight that was announced a day earlier? It's kind of interesting to kind of see the dynamics play out here. And then you hear Daniel Cormier say, hey, you know what? Conor McGregor's got to learn, and he's got to know that this is part of the job, and that's exactly what he said. So when you kind of look at it and you see other fighters weren't rushing to his side, which I thought would happen, and it's probably because he wanted such a long camp, and he was skipping an event. Now, yes, he was in Iceland, and he's training, and these things are hard to do, and why can't you bring a dude via satellite, and do you necessarily need to have him in New York at this press conference, getting fans who are essentially heckling him, which is always the weirdest part of these UFC press conferences for me. It's very much like the Floyd Mayweather press conferences. For those of us that have been in attendance at those, there's always like reporters that get to ask questions, and then there's some dude that comes up and goes, why'd you let him whip your ass? And then you realize, oh, that's not a reporter. Except the UFC actually invites that in.
Yes. And so, for what it's worth, at that particular event at MSG, they did state, okay, now we're going to the fans. So you kind of knew that Troll City was about
right,
to show
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's interesting here. And you had his coach on Tuesday responding to some fan comments and saying announcements soon. He did refer to UFC, but I just can't see the upside here. Because what do you do when Conor McGregor gets his ass whipped by Floyd Money Mayweather, who, although he may be one of the best boxers that's ever lived, doesn't have a ton of fan support? That guy has not made a lot of fans, essentially, in his career outside of the fact that he's undefeated. So you've got a lot of people that think he's shoulder-rolled his way to 49-0 and never really taken on the fighters that he should have taken on when they were in their prime and when they were the best challenger for him. So you've got a guy that isn't necessarily respected by the casual boxing fan, or I would just say the casual fight fan, and he's going to lay your dude out. He's going to lay Conor McGregor out, especially if they're both in there at 140-something. So there's a lot of things about this that don't make sense, but that one thing at the end of the tunnel is that big, giant, shining dollar sign, and you can't underestimate that in this business.
Your thoughts, is this thing bigger than if Mayweather went for 50-0 against Pacquiao again, a healthy Pacquiao?
I think this is bigger, simply because Pacquiao left a sour taste in a lot of people's mouths. A lot of people, last time, it was a big fight, shut down pay-per-view servers, but a lot of people at that point were like, man, he should have fought Pacquiao 3 or 4 years ago. Of course he waited, because he takes less damage than other boxers. And it's smart boxing to take less damage than other boxers. But what happens is, when you're rolling through and you've got your peers out there fighting wars, and you're better, you can get out of these fights without taking damage, you're letting them get beat up for the better part of a couple of years, take some losses, and then you fight them. And that's one of those things with Floyd Money Mayweather, where there hasn't necessarily been that respect from fight fans that maybe his record and maybe his performances garner.
You'll love this. Bloody Elbow is tweeting out that bookies in Vegas are saying McGregor has a better shot to beat Mayweather than Andre Berto did.
Really?
Yes.
Well, let's not forget, bookies aren't handicapping the fight for sporting purposes. They want the money to land.
Of course they
spots.
Do. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they, oh man, how much Irish money is going to land on the table in Vegas? I'm serious.
Yeah.
If this fight happens, that's why the odds are going to lay where they are. Nobody's going to lay down money on Berto. So the odds could be giant. You make the odds giant so you can finally get some money on Berto. There's going to be a lot of dudes that want to lay money down on Conor McGregor. So the odds aren't going to be as good for those bettors. Remember, the odds are for the bettors. The odds aren't telling us who somebody thinks is or isn't going to win.
It's crazy. There isn't, at this point, I'm still kind of scrolling through Twitter, there isn't really any legit, I mean, there are people writing, like Bloody Elbow is writing about it, but I don't see anybody legit responding one way or the other.
Yeah, and you know, this could be the Sun trying to sell some newspapers. We're not sure, but it's not like they're not the National Enquirer, you know.
And Floyd has not, he retweeted something 19 hours ago about a thing he's doing for Showtime Sports, but other than that, he hasn't tweeted in 4 days.
But the interesting thing about the Floyd Money Mayweather is a lot of people were talking about the fact that he may or may not be thinking about coming out of retirement, and he talked about this on the fight last weekend where he would need a, nine-figure payday? Is that
yes.
what he said?
Yep. So, all the paydays.
What do you think would give him a nine-figure payday? Berto 2 or Conor McGregor?
Berto 2.
Or Conor McGregor.
Book that one, Ken Evans. So, Berto 2.
Man, I'm just thinking about this fight. Think about how beat up he was after fighting Nate Diaz.
This would be,
what is Floyd Mayweather going to do to that dude?
Well, and the thing about Floyd is, you know, you kind of joke about the shoulder roll, but the thing about Floyd that has been his thing is,
no, that's amazing. I'm just saying, casual boxing fan, why don't he fight?
Is your inability to find him, right? Like, that's the thing about him. And when you look at the first round of Diaz, and I understand I'm doing total MMA math. It's very fuzzy logic.
Boxing equation in there, too.
Yeah, I got all that, so don't stop emailing me. But you look at the first round of Diaz-McGregor, and McGregor is hitting Diaz, but isn't really doing anything. And how tired is McGregor? Now, the rounds are going to be shorter. It's going to be two-minute rounds versus 5 minutes.
The gloves are heavier, though.
The gloves are heavier. But how tired is he going to be after, let's say, 3 rounds of not touching anything? Mm-hmm. Now you're just swinging at the air for 6 straight minutes.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I don't think any reasonable breakdown of this fight, if it's boxing rules, is going to have Conor McGregor anywhere near the third round.
And there's, I mean, you know, you're leaving some gray area. There's zero possibility that McGregor's or that Mayweather's like, MMA fight? Totally. Let's do this.
No, I mean, Floyd's not a fighter. He's a boxer. And he's made a lot of money boxing. And he's made a lot more money boxing than any MMA fighter has made fighting. But when it comes down to it, he's a boxer, not a fighter. So if he's not taking a fight, then he's going to win that contest easily every day, twice on Sunday. And that's why this is so baffling.
Which is why they'll put it on a Sunday.
What's that?
I said, which is why they'll put it on a Sunday.
Yeah, give him another chance. That's why this is baffling up until you realize all the dollars that could have been involved. We've seen how ridiculous the expenditures are sometimes in Mayweather promotions. We've seen how crazy that is, and that's because they got the money to spend. Sometimes I would say they've got the money to quote-unquote burn. So if you think about that with your regular, Mayweather-Ortiz fight from 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
What do you think that money is going to look like for a Mayweather-McGregor fight?
Well, you don't even have to do that. Look at what happened with Pacquiao. People were, those seats were $2,500 a piece or something like that.
They couldn't fit all the private airplanes at the Las Vegas airport. They didn't know what to do with all the private planes that just kept landing.
So,
which I really find weird because I figure you should call ahead if you're going to land at an airport.
Right, like, yeah, I feel you should know that there's space or not. It's not like a parking garage. You can just go to another
one. But it sort of was that night. And so think about that money. And that money is going to be comparable, if not more. And
well, it's certainly going to, I mean, without a doubt, it's certainly bigger than the UFC, anything the UFC has ever done ever.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And, you know, do you get a home and home here? Do you get he fights a boxing match over there and then
a home and home.
Mayweather's got to come into
MMA
the cage and do something
in Ireland at the O2.
I don't know, man. Money Mayweather choked out the Big Show at WrestleMania. He's got a bit of a ground game.
That's very true. Yes.
So let's remember that.
His white belt ground game is strong.
If we're going to work ahead to this home and home series.
What happens in McGregor? Sorry. What happens when McGregor loses?
I don't know what happens when he loses. You or I wouldn't fault him at all, but he's not necessarily lived off the MMA super fans' money at this point. He's lived off a lot of that, he's got a mouth, he talks, he hates that guys. He's going to show up for any fight and do any fight. I mean, he's going to have that respect. He showed up, he took the fight, he took the boxing match, even though that's not his realm. I mean, I think there'd be some respect there, but I do think, you know, you'd have a bit of a smudge on your record already. So is that the thing? Is it's that wouldn't be a worse loss to take than the Nate Diaz loss? So I'm having trouble figuring out, like, is that that bad?
I don't
and
know.
And if
but
you have that much money in play and it's not that bad to take a loss, go do it.
So are you vacating the title then? You'd have to vacate it at this point, right? You can't go do that.
It depends what the UFC decides.
You can't go do
it. I don't know. They're deciding to let him do it if they get scratched a big enough check, maybe. I don't know. I would say no, of course not, but I would have said that 2 months ago before they tried to put him on the card not defending his title and let other two other dudes fight for his title. So I have no idea. I'm trying to, I like to play a game a lot. Let's jump into this world of logic and then go from there. Sometimes you have to take an insane theory and let's go work within that theory. I can't even do that with the UFC because I have no idea. My jumping into their insane theory is like, sure, he can keep the title. We want him to carry it to the boxing ring when he has a boxing match so people see the logo. So we're going to do another interim title. Is this interim still?
For now,
This thing with Edgar and Aldo?
Aldo? Yes.
That's still interim.
It is.
All right. I don't know.
So there's that.
Maybe Floyd could walk one of them to the cage.
Why not?
With Bieber and Triple H.
Yes. All the shade.
Everybody.
Okay. So
and Jay-Z rapping about his 100 problems.
The other odd piece of news out in the last 48 hours is crazy Ronda Rousey is at it again as she apparently tried to attack Paige VanZant over congratulating Holly Holm on beating Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, and we heard this week. This was kind of a secondhand story, but Paige VanZant confirmed it essentially to TMZ when they asked her about it. Misha Tate was on Joe Rogan's podcast, and they were talking about the fact that Paige was at a
Dancing with the Stars VIP thing, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. When Paige told the story to Misha, she was at some type of ABC thing. Because they did the Jones-Cormier announcement on Good Morning America.
Correct.
And they kind of rolled Paige into it. She's on Dancing with the Stars, all that stuff. So that's kind of how Misha heard the story. And the story goes, essentially, that they were at a photo shoot for Reebok, and Paige wanted to take a picture with Ronda.
And we can just play the audio here if you want
to. Yeah, and the Reebok guys are like, why don't you leave Ronda alone? And Paige was trying to figure out why she had to leave Ronda alone.
So Paige was also at that VIP party, and Paige and I have spoken, we're friendly, but don't know her that well. But anyway, she felt the need. She came up to me, she's like, Misha, she's like, I have to tell you this experience I had with Ronda. And I'm like, oh, what? And she's like, well, we were at a Reebok deal just, you know, recently, and she's like, we were at a shoot, and she's like, I was trying to find her so we could get a picture, and the Reebok people were like, don't ask Ronda for a picture. And she's like, why? And they're like, just stay away from Ronda, don't ask her for a picture. She's like, okay. And I guess Ronda came later that day and like seeked her out and just like cussed her out. Like, they've never really had a conversation either. She's like, I don't know Ronda, like, you know, other than hi, bye. That's it. Like, I guess Ronda came up and was like, you fair weather bitch, how dare you cross me, blah, blah, blah. She's like, cross you? What are you talking about? And she's like, you congratulated Holly Holm for beating me, so you Fairweather, 115 pounds, like, was just like, whoa. Went off on Paige, and Paige came and told me, and I was like, honey, welcome to my world. She's like, oh my gosh. She's like, I'm glad that I saw this side of her, so I know, you know. I'm like, well, and she's like, you know, because I didn't understand. She's like, I told Ronda, like, I'm sorry if that offended you, but, you know, I'm allowed to congratulate whoever I want. And she's like, because, you know, I congratulated Rose Namajunas when she beat me. I was like, you know, congratulations, you whooped my ass, that was a badass performance. And she's like, you know, I just simply told Holly congratulations once, and like, wasn't anything, you know, anti-Ronda. But Ronda has just ripped her a new one.
Wow. Like, you have to be on Team Ronda for life.
Yeah, I guess. I've never been on Team Ronda, so I'm good. All or none. Wow.
So, yeah, Misha's not on Team Ronda. She sounds glad that she never was. And Ronda sounds as insane as some of us have thought she might be. So you can never, ever congratulate her opponent. Or else you're not on Team Ronda for life.
Well, and what was interesting about this story to me is for the past 10 days, and I think even on Luke Thomas's promotional malpractice this week on Wednesday, there are still people asking about Jędrzejczyk on Tough, and she's coming off like a bully. She's mm-hmm. not coming off as an opponent or a champion. She's coming off as somebody that's bullying and like kind of being the heavy.
You'll be surprised. I actually caught a couple of these, and they're interesting enough because I think Johanna's kind of insane in that little Ronda Rousey vein.
Do you think she's a bully?
I don't think she's a bully. She's a fighter, and I'm trying to remember who did this, which season it was, and it was one of the seasons where I said that guy doesn't even care about that team. He's just pissed the whole time at his opponent. God, I can't remember.
Connor, right? Well, Connor was like,
no,
that.
Connor was hilarious. Like, at least she, no, it wasn't Connor, but I do know.
He did not care about being
right, there. But there was somebody that was really mad the whole time. Like, they didn't want to walk in the room. God, I can't remember who that was off the top of my head. But there was somebody I remember back when I was watching those a little more regularly. And Connor was hilarious because he would show up with a note card, read a speech, and just leave for the day. Like, Joanna's not doing that. But every time she gets within like 2 feet. Maybe this was the Ronda Misha thing. Maybe I'm thinking of Ronda.
That might have been.
I am thinking of Ronda. Ronda was super wound up the whole, like, Misha's there. Remember how pissed Ronda got?
Oh, because they
when
swapped
Misha
it,
showed
yeah,
up.
They swapped it.
Why didn't anybody tell me? Like, we're telling you now. It's TV. This makes good TV. Ronda mad. So you had that. I think Joanna's got some of those vibes. I don't think she's as crazy as Ronda at this point. And I might just be giving her the benefit of the doubt because I expected to watch this and be bored to death. And I still don't know who these fighters are, but I kind of like watching her just try to pick a fight with the cameraman half the time. So that's kind of cool.
Well, and the reason I bring this up is because when you hear this story, it feels to me like Ronda most certainly is a bully.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you cannot root against her. She is the face of women's MMA. Heretofore, she is to ape a phrase from elsewhere, right? Like, she's the queen bay of the MMA world, right? Mm-hmm. She's the Beyonce of the music industry, that you should pay homage to what she's doing, and you should not be treating her with disrespect and congratulating her other opponent. And there's something to me that's off about a girl. I mean, Paige VanZant is a girl,
mm-hmm.
right? And a very young girl that you're going to go after and essentially threaten for congratulating Holly Holm. There's just something about that.
Well,
that
I mean, if this happened last year, she might have been like 21 years old.
Yeah.
Because I, this, this, this is very interesting, too, because, I mean, this speaks to a lot of the supposition and a lot of the discussion that we've had over the past couple months. What did this fight do to Ronda? Somebody confident in themselves and feeling like they can train, like change some things and get back into the game, never feels the need to do this. You know, I have this saying because in the business that I'm in on the day-to-day basis, there's a lot of people that like to tell you how busy they are. And I always say, if somebody has to tell you how busy they are, they're probably not very busy. And if somebody has to tell you how tough they are and show you what a badass they are, they don't feel like they're tough and they don't feel like they're a badass. And I think part of that has been chinked away from Ronda Rousey after that loss to Holly Holm. And I think she shows up, a 115-pound fighter, by the way. This would be akin...
No, this is what I'm saying.
This would be akin to, oh, I don't know, let's say Fabricio Verdum. I was going to say getting pissed at Conor McGregor, but he kind of has because Conor doesn't shut up. But let's say Fabricio Verdum. Let's pick somebody in the weight division that's just kind of hanging out there. Hasn't talked crap about anybody. Like, just is just kind of hanging out there. Like Robbie Lawler. Robbie Lawler does his business in the cage at lightweight and wins his fights and does what he has to do. And or I'm sorry, middleweight. And this would be like Robbie Lawler just hanging out. Oh, hey, hey, Fabricio, you want to take a quick pick? No. And then Fabricio yells at him for maybe rooting against him or supporting a different teammate or something like that. I don't think you'd ever see that from a guy like Fabricio Verdum. The dude's confident in himself, no, and he knows what he can do.
I mean, I met Fabricio Verdum. He's like, he was couldn't have been any nicer, right?
Right. So, and that's what I mean. I mean, it's hard to really, and I see why you bring up Joanna, because maybe she's the only other person in the UFC you might see doing this, but up until I saw The Ultimate Fighter, I probably wouldn't have even thought that. So maybe in the gym, she's just a little intense. But I would say, before I saw Ronda Rousey backstage, we all thought she would do exactly what she did here in this situation with Paige VanZant. And it just, again, every time we hear something about Ronda Rousey lately, it just begs another question as to her mental state. Is she in the fight game? What did that loss do to her? Why is she lashing out like this? And you know what's interesting, too, is you've got a couple of new women fighters. And I'm sorry, but in case nobody's been paying attention, there's 20 million people that lay their eyes on Paige VanZant twice a week right now for the past, what, month and a half?
If not longer, right?
Right. She just got a perfect score on Dancing with the Stars. She's got the Dancing with the Stars and ABC hype train behind her. So, I mean, she's got a decent amount of notoriety. I mean, this would be a situation where you would want your fighters to work together to better the sport in general. This is where you want Anderson Silva to sit at a table with Daniel Cormier as they both sell an event. That's what you want. And in this instance, she was mad that her opponent got congratulated. My favorite part of that whole thing is Paige VanZant saying, hey, I congratulated the girl that whooped my ass, so why don't you sit down and shut up? I'm going to congratulate whoever I want to. And it's just kind of interesting. A lot of these things that have always been in the background rumbling with Ronda Rousey, she's taken that loss. She's not got back in the cage, and it's kind of a weird situation here.
Yeah, and when you see stuff like this, it just, again, speaks to, like you said, stuff that we knew that she was going to do, likely, or was always part of her. I mean, if you read her book, this has kind of been part of her personality, but rarely has it, and it certainly wasn't in the book, but rarely, I think, have you seen a situation where it felt so like bully,
unstable. She felt unstable.
Unstable and bully-esque that, like, I mean, much like I don't want George St. Pierre to fight, I never need to see him. I know people are still talking about him. I never need to see him fight again after that last fight with Johnny Hendricks. He doesn't need to fight again for me to know that he was one of the best at his time. That time has since passed. When you see stuff like this from Ronda Rousey, we're now, what, 6 months past that fight?
Mm-hmm.
And you're still that mentally fragile? Like, I wonder, do you even need to get back in the cage?
Well, and you have to wonder, too, is she going to get back in the cage? Is it huff and puff for the sake of huff and puff here?
But you're not going to fight Paige VanZant.
No,
there's a 20-pound weight difference.
No, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. So I don't understand what she's doing. Again, there's going to be a lot of glossing over stuff like this, this me against the world kind of stuff, when you're performing, when you're the champion. Like, okay, that's what you need to get there. I get it. You know, I essentially on this show, probably to the chagrin of some people, essentially, John Jones wants to do coke. I don't know. These guys are insane. Maybe he needs to do coke to party. I like to have a couple beers. I'm not John Jones. Maybe he needs a little something bigger, a little something with more pop. I didn't judge him on this show for that. I judged him for doing all the crazy stuff after or before or drunk driving. But, you know, as far as the coke goes, cool, man. What, however you want to party, I don't care. Be careful and don't F with anybody else. And, you know, you get some of that when you're a champion. And Ronda Rousey, man, she must have to keep it cranked up to 100 to kind of keep the pace she's keeping. She's fighting 3 to 4 times a year, defending that belt. She's beating everybody in 60 seconds. But what you have now is a Ronda Rousey who hasn't fought since she lost to Holly Holm. A Ronda Rousey that is months away from that fight. A Ronda Rousey who's essentially just had a photo shoot for the day. And apparently she's... If this had happened, I don't know how other people would feel. But if this had happened backstage in a locker room at a UFC, probably wouldn't have cared. I wouldn't have cared. That I would have been like, well, Ronda might be a little crazy. The fact that this happened outside of a fighting event, the fact that this happened at a photo shoot, essentially, tells me that Ronda is really compensating at this point and really may not be in the state she needs to be in to get back in the cage. That being said, she's had a skill set that's been amazing, and she may not need to be 100% to beat Miesha Tate if that ends up being the opponent. But again, there's a lot of critics again saying, oh, well, you didn't want to come back and fight until Holly was out of the way. So Miesha gets a fight. Oh, look, hey, maybe you're going to have to be back in there with Holly to get the fight against Miesha. So it's very interesting, this whole dynamic, and to kind of hear the story. I know it wasn't directly from the horse's mouth, but Paige VanZant relayed that that was pretty much the case when TMZ asked her about it, to hear Misha's story on the Joe Rogan podcast. And Joe Rogan, I love the fact that he reacted the way he did, because he was one of those dudes, you know, he was all aboard. He had a little freaking engineer's hat. He was at the front of the Ronda Rousey choo-choo train. He was pulling that little whistle. He was shoveling the coal in the fire. He was keeping the cows off the track. He was all aboard on that Ronda Rousey train. So to kind of hear him...
You know a lot about train culture, my friend.
Yeah, well, you know, I've watched enough, like, Westerns. I don't know how... I don't know if any of that happens now. I feel like Ronda Rousey would have an old school train.
I feel
like
you're right.
You need to shovel some coal.
There's somebody tied to the
just
tracks.
Just F the environment
got
up.
Got a mustache.
As like, you're rolling towards somebody, yeah, that's going to die a maiden. So it's kind of funny to hear Joe Rogan, who was, like, the captain of the Ronda Rousey choo-choo train all aboard, to kind of just kind of be, wow, what? Holy, really? Like and you know Joe knows she was insane to a certain point, but again, you get a pass for a lot of that when you're fighting and when you're at the top of the game. And the fact is, she hasn't been fighting for a while. We don't know if she's going to come back. Maybe she's keeping it 100 the whole time. But it just comes off as kind of strange. And it's very interesting to hear other fighters. And I would like to hear maybe, and I know Misha's had a long-running kind of feud with her, and I know that Paige has probably clearly got other interests. She's doing the Dancing with the Stars. She's got other things. But it is still interesting to hear a fighter kind of go, wow, you're kind of crazy. That can be good crazy if you're fighting and you're successful and you're competitive and you're in the cage. That can be, wow, you're crazy crazy because you haven't fought in 6 months and you're still like at 100 here. So what's going on? What are you compensating for?
Well, and I mean, as I'm trying to think as you're talking, there aren't really other people like that in the organization right now.
The only one that seems like that is John Jones, and it's almost still exclusive with Daniel Cormier.
It's just Daniel Cormier. Like, I mean, he, you know.
Well, I'm just giving you the best example we could have.
But, I mean, he, you know, he seems to be super cool with Rumble. He wants to fight Rumble in New York, right? Like, and the thing about Jones with everybody else that he's fought is that maybe he's like that leading up to it, but then when it's over, he's like, yeah, whatever, Shogun, whatever, Lyoto. Like,
yeah.
I'm moving on. Where this, I don't, and.
Like Ronda Rousey's beat Miesha Tate twice, and she still seems to have a bug up her ass about it.
Well, and what I was going to say is I don't get the sense that John Jones takes it as seriously, and even if he did, he's also not really the world's most stable human being, and I don't know that you want to be, even if it's just isolated to Ronda and John Jones. There are, I don't know, what, 496 other fighters in the UFC who don't act
and again,
like that?
This could be the 1% of the 1%, though, Eric, and I don't have a problem with that. The problem comes in when she's not fighting. The problem isn't there if she's 1% of the 1%. The problem is she's not the 1% of the 1% right now, and she's still acting like this. Again, I would give her probably more of a pass than I should if she were still in the cage. And, okay, maybe she's got to keep it at 100. She's not been in the cage a while. She's not said she wants to get back in the cage a while. And she's basically outweighing this girl by 50 pounds.
And what happens
if,
you know,
around weight and just, like, come on, what are you doing?
And what happens if she loses this next one?
And what's going to be interesting, she's going to start making Cyborg look sympathetic.
Well, that's what I was just thinking.
Like,
as you're
come
talking,
on.
Like, I'm already going, like, I mean, I kind of like Cyborg a lot more because she's not acting like you
are
right now.
And I don't want Cyborg to get any of these fights until she makes the weight. Yeah, I don't think that's
again,
fair.
I'm on that train with you.
But I mean, if you keep seeing Ronda Rousey go crazy, you're like, maybe throw her in there at 140.
Okay, we do have a fight night to talk about before we get out of here. However,
Eric's saw me putting my notes away. Like, hey, we need to talk about that
thing. Well, I do want to stop for a second because I do want to talk briefly about the Jordan Parsons story from earlier this week.
It was terrible.
It's a terrible story. If you're unaware, Jordan Parsons was a fighter in Bellator. He was involved in a hit and run on Sunday night at about 12:30 a.m. in Delray, Florida, and was taken to the hospital. They had to amputate his leg as a result of the accident and then do something with his spleen. He never really got out of intensive care, and then he finally passed on Wednesday. So he was killed by a hit-and-run driver that they still have not found. His coach has been posting some of the stuff from the scene of the accident in hopes that they can find that car. I did do some research on this particular podcast. We do have some listeners in Florida. So if you know anything about a Range Rover in the 2010-2011 range that's silver that was in Delray, Florida, they could use your help because this is just, I mean, I don't know that I could think of a worse, this is just a terrible, terrible story.
Yeah, I mean, it was terrible and it got worse. And that's just the way it went with this one. It's you know, thoughts are with his family and
absolutely,
all of his team. But again, if there's anybody out there that can help these guys out, if for some reason you're covering for somebody or anything like that, you got to think about what happened in this situation and take a minute and think of what that, if that would have happened to you or somebody you love, how you would want that handled.
And with that, you know, like Ken just said, our thoughts go out to the family and the teammate of Jordan Parsons. So we will move on, awkwardly, as we do when you come out of something like that, to talk about Alistair Overeem and Andre Arlovsky, both at one point training with Jackson. That is not exactly what happened leading up to this fight.
They're the best of friends.
They are the best of friends, torn apart by competition.
Best of friends, better enemies. UFC Fight Night Mother's Day.
Number three. It's almost like Game of Thrones wrote that. Number three.
You'd be tuning in at two for sure, though, if they let me voice that.
Absolutely.
Come on now.
Yes. Number five, Andre Arlovsky versus number three, Alistair Overeem. The Ream would like a title fight after this. He is, of course, on a three-fight win streak, beating Struve, Roy Nelson, and JDS in a row after losing to Ben Rothwell in 2014. Andre, not so much, right? He was on a tear for a minute. He won six in a row until he met Stipe Miocic, who stopped him earlier this year in Las Vegas. And this is his fight off of that that will, of course, take place in Rotterdam. An interesting fight and one that, I mean, when you see that Stipe fight, I want to say if we went back and listened to the podcast, I'm pretty sure that one Ken Evans said that looked like the Andre we thought was coming back to the UFC because the Andre that won the six in the row was like a revitalized Andre.
Let's go back a little more. Let's go back to Frank Mir. I think we might have said, hey, that's the Andre we thought we were going to see, but the Frank Mir was even more terrible than that. So that wasn't a huge surprise. I was kind of more hoping he would have a bounce back at that point against Stipe and look a little more like he did against Travis Brown. Because I remember that was supposed to be Travis Brown. Okay, man, go beat this guy. Go get your title shot. Let's go do this.
Yep.
And, you know, he shocked everybody. He shocked everybody with that Travis Brown win Andre Arlovsky did. So, and then again, I said after that, didn't I? Just make the title fight. He's like number four in the world. He's got a belt.
No, I mean, we both said that.
They didn't do it.
We both said time's a ticket.
And
we
didn't even know. We didn't know they were going to do like 80 interim belts. You should have given them like the Andre Arlovsky Pitbull mouthpiece belt or something.
Right. But this, this fight, I think, to me is a bad matchup for Andre. The Ream is a guy that's been very, very hard to take down in the course of his career. I think he's clearly...
The career?
Okay, lately.
Okay, all right.
I think, you know, I just think his striking is crisper. I think he's a fresher fighter. He hasn't had or taken the damage that Andre has. And I just think this is a bad, bad, bad matchup. I don't know, to your point, I don't know that he gets a title fight after beating Andre Arlovsky, but you're number three.
Well, I mean, he's number three and the guy's number five. So, I mean, that's not terrible.
No.
I guess what we would have to do is wait until, what do we got, May 23rd? No, May 21st.
Isn't it 20? What, it's coming up.
Well, yeah, we've got to shake out the title situation a little bit is essentially what I'm saying here. So that'll be kind of interesting.
Next weekend, May 14th.
Yeah. So I had that a week later. So we kind of see how that's going to fall out next week. So, I mean, it's not very long. It's going to be 5 days, literally, because of the way this shakes out. So we'll see who wins, how they win, all of those things that kind of come into play. But, I mean, if you had a three and a five matchup in any other division, it almost wouldn't be a question. But with the heavyweights, there always seems like there's just that such a precipitous drop off from like 1 to 5. Like it's not a decline. It's basically a cliff there. And you pick whichever guy you want to have. And if you want to have it be Verdum and Velasquez and Dos Santos, and then the cliff falls off, you can do that. And there's not people that could, you know, argue with you too much about those type of things. But then again, you've got a guy like Alistair Overeem who just beat Junior Dos Santos to get to where he is. But is this the Alistair Overeem that beat Junior Dos Santos, or is this the guy that lost to Ben Rothwell? Both of these dudes have the exact same question coming in. Which fighter are we getting? You would say that looking at the past couple fights, sure, Overeem's the big favorite. But, you know, if you're one of those dudes that plays roulette, you got to say, hey, you know, his numbers come up 3 times in a row, and he hasn't fallen back like he has in the past. So maybe this is where he falls off. I think it's a super interesting fight coming up this weekend between the two guys, depending on who shows up.
Okay, so let's play this out, right? I believe that Alistair's got the keys to win this one. Alistair beats Andre Arlovsky, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stipe beats Verdum.
Okay.
Let's say, okay? Kane beats Travis.
Okay.
What do you do?
Wow, I don't know. I think you've got Velasquez Verdum again.
As the eliminator?
No, as the title fight. No, wait, you got Stipe.
Stipe wins.
You think Stipe's going to win?
I'm just trying to make it crazy. If Andre, so Overeem wins, if you're writing this down. Okay. So the Ream wins.
Overeem wins.
Stipe wins.
Stipe.
And then Kane wins.
Kane. So what do we do there? Does Overeem get a shot against Stipe? That's going to depend a lot on the Verdum fight. Is this a 5-round war? Is this a knockout in the first round? Is this a 5-round clobbering?
You think he gets a rematch?
I mean, we're at the win in the heavyweight division, haven't we?
Yeah, I know.
Had a rematch at this point.
I know, but when you look at I see you writing it down. So on the other side of that, you would have JDS, Verdum,
right?
Arlovsky.
Well, here's the thing: if you got the number 3 guy in the world and he wins this fight, and you've got Stipe winning that fight in a decent, convincing fashion, I think that is your next fight. But nobody's going to argue, probably, if you wanted to put Verdum back in there. If Verdum wins, this is a lot cleaner, because then you've got
Verdum. You're going with Kane?
I actually would go with Overeem.
Okay.
I would go with Overeem. And again, this is partly the business sense. Like, the more you put Overeem and Arlovsky in fights, if they win this fight, the farther they're going to eventually fall down in this division. And that's not taking anything... That's not taking anything away from either of these fighters, but I mean the age of both of these dudes and how long they've been around and their historical performance tells me at some point Overeem here is going to fall off. And if you want to get some money out of him and run him in there for a title fight, you do it next, especially if Verdum wins, because then you've essentially got, hey, Stipe, you had your chance. That's fine. And you also don't have the situation where with Verdum, well, where's my rematch? Everybody else is getting rematch. Where's my rematch? Kane is going to be in the picture for a while. Kane could be back in a title fight 3 to 4 months after an Overeem Verdum fight. So I think I really do. I'm one of those guys where, hey, if the guys fought to that point, why don't we put him there? Because as much as Kane Velasquez has headlined fights and been a heavyweight champion before, I don't really see him as much more of a draw than these other guys in the fight when you put him in there. Again, this isn't John Jones, and I'm not taking anything away from Verdum or Kane in this regard, but the heavyweight fights sell on being the heavyweight fights for the most part.
Well, and the problem with Kane, right, is he fights once and he's out for 18 months.
Yeah, and that,
so it's hard for him to build, even if he was the guy, he was the GSP of the heavyweights.
How many times on this podcast do I keep forgetting where the hell Kane is? Like, what's
because he's gone
Kane?
For a year and a half every time.
I mean, the good thing for Kane is there was a month there, I'm pretty sure, I thought he was champion when he had been injured, and he was gone. So I mean, that's kind of been the weird thing with Kane.
Except he doesn't get a check.
Yeah, every time there's a heavyweight title fight, of course we're all watching. But I mean, how much is that actually selling on Kane or JDS or Verdum at this point? I think probably Verdum's been one of the more impressive dudes and has kind of built that resume up. So you know, Verdum, you roll him out against Fighter of the Month essentially and let him clear out the top five, and you try to keep these guys. I'm not saying you protect anybody, but I'll pull that heavyweight division up again next week. You don't protect anybody, but you don't necessarily have to go out there and make some guys that have worked their way to number 3 or number 2 or number 4 in the division. You know, you don't necessarily have to have them beat the world like you made Misha Tate beat the world 10 times.
Right.
When she kept losing to Ronda.
Yep.
I mean, you don't need that at this point. Some of these fights haven't been made. And for somebody in yourself who's been going insane with the fact that we might have to see Kane JDS like 30 times, I would think you would welcome this wholeheartedly. Even though it's Overeem and it's one of the old school guys, hey, if he wins, let's get him in there.
I totally welcome it. I just, as you're writing this down, right, if those the three on the left-hand side, if they all win, this becomes a really ugly picture that somebody has to figure out what to do with.
Well, yeah, because what you do is you probably end up seeing Overeem Kane, and that's if Kane's healthy, and that's if he can get in there. And if you see that, you've essentially knocked Overeem out. I'm sorry. I don't know anybody who, if they're both healthy, that's going to be picking Overeem over Kane Velasquez. And as far as looking at this kind of down the line, and nothing's a given and a fight's a fight, but looking at this down the line, Kane's going to get to his shot again. Kane will get to his shot again. But then again, if Stipe wins, as you might be predicting in a week from Saturday, then this gets a lot uglier because Verdum is still in there, even though he just took the loss, depending on how the loss looked and what happened in that fight. Is it a quick sub? Is it a five-round war? Is it five rounds of domination? Did he get caught? I mean, think about the people that still say Jose Aldo deserves an immediate rematch because he didn't look that bad. He only took a punch.
Including Jose Aldo.
Jose Aldo, yeah. I mean, we can kind of give him a pass on what he said. Did you see how he got knocked out last time?
Yes.
So we'll give him a pass on that critical thinking part of it. A
couple other fights to catch as this card starts at 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Mother's Day here in the Eastern time zone. You got Bigfoot Silva.
It's Mother's Day everywhere.
It is.
Don't.
No, but the 2 p.m. is...
Yes,
never mind.
I'm with you. Some dude in California is like, those fighting guys said Mother's Day is not today.
I don't have to do it today.
I have to do it today.
Bigfoot Silva taking on Stefan Struve, both guys 1-3 in their last four. So that's what Ken
I can't wait to see. That's going to look like those card dealer.
Yes.
Car dealer floppy guys fighting. Those dude, just big, long limbs all in there just flailing at each other.
And then the other one, which I'm super excited about, Gunnar Nelson taking on Tumanov. That'll be a fun one. That's third on the card. Khabilov on this card. John Tuck is on this card. You, of course, have Horiguchi on this card. Lots of fun fights.
That should be his nickname. Of course. Horiguchi.
Of course. Horiguchi. All of that going on this weekend. As always, you can follow along with the results by following us on Twitter and on Facebook at Wow Show. Have a wonderful Mother's Day weekend. And here's to, hang on. Before we go, just because I want to be up on everything, I want to make sure that there is no Mayweather fight.
Oh, time. Conor McGregor's going to fight Mike Tyson tomorrow afternoon.
Awesome. Terrific.
Oh, breaking, I'm sorry. That might be fake. What are you looking at?
I want to
know where you go, like who you trust.
Well, I just go to Twitter and see if anybody real is saying, yes, this is true.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not true. Although it is already a Twitter moment. So
it's a Twitter moment.
There's that. Mm. But yeah, there's nothing confirmed.
So. All right. We'll see.
There you go. All right. Have a great Mother's Day. We will break it if it is real. McGregor and Mayweather, whenever that's going to happen. Have a wonderful Mother's Day. We'll talk next week. It's Way of the Warrior.
It's your MMA show.